Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Privi Speciality Chemicals Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Seema. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Private Limited, we welcome you all to the 1Q FY24 earnings conference call of Privi Speciality Chemicals Limited. We have pleasure in inviting from the management Mr. R. S. Rajan, President, Mr. Narayan Iyer, CFO, and Ms. Ashwini Shah, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer representing the company. I request Mr. Rajan first to give us his opening remarks and business update, following which Mr. Iyer will take us through an overview of the finances for the quarter, and then we'll begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir, Mr. Rajan. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamlesh. At the outset, a warm welcome to all our investors, stakeholders, and fraternity members. We are very happy to be having this interaction with you, and we are committed to ensure these interactions continue on a regular basis after every quarter, as has been suggested by our investors. To begin with, on the global scenario, since we are a 70% export house, we have seen some positive signals that the world economy is slowly progressing. While we keep hearing cross tales and there were headwinds in the past, but now we see the situation in the month of August as we speak, that the trend is now progressive and people are pressing the right levers to see that the situation is returning back to normalcy. A lot of destocking that was taking place has now started correcting itself. The way the feelers are there, we see during the course of this calendar year, the situation slowly but surely progressing towards an optimal scenario, which is going to be good for the world economy and which is going to be good for Privi as a company. Now, as far as we are concerned, internally, we live by our values, which is that of sustainability, safety, sense of urgency, transparency, and respect and care for all the people that we are associated with and who are stakeholders. So let me start with one of the key important factors worldwide on the area of sustainability. We have continued our journey of sustainability for the past decade by putting both CapEx and looking at practices which are best practices around the world, because very soon, the origin of the material that we source, we already have the biggest CST refinery plant in the world in one location, which is our CST, and that's a renewable resource. And that strategy on the long term has given us stability, credibility, as well as reliability with all our key customers. So on the sustainability front, we have also taken up a mission to achieve science-based targets. We've also taken up a mission to ensure that we, in the coming years, are aspiring to go towards being a coal-free setup. And as we speak, in this year, we should be able to achieve anywhere between 20%-30% of usage of green power. We already have some of our units which are using solar energy, and we plan to put up a solar village also, which will give us green power. On the area of safety, we have been making strides to ensure that every person who walks into our factory and he walks out is always observing and is getting the protection of the best safety standards. We regularly pick up citations and awards towards that. In the sense of urgency, I'm happy to share with my investors and shareholders that after setting up the GalaxoMax plant, some of the products which are parallel, whether it is Cashmeron or Covon or now Kristen Indomaron or Floravon, has seen one of the fast-track commercialization in our Jhagadia plant in Gujarat. And we will be having a go-to-market commercialization starting the coming the second half early, starting with the trial production in September itself. And as far as transparency is concerned, we have been speaking to all of you, and we have been transparent. We have been cautiously optimistic in predicting the way forward, and I'm glad that this quarter results, which my colleague Narayan will speak to you in detail on the numbers, have shown a year-to-year comparison, a progress, which is optimistic, and it is clearly giving the evidence, including the free cash flows that we are achieving. So on the numbers, I will not steal the thunder from Narayan. I will let him come in and take the numbers. We once again thank you with a lot of gratitude and humility for the support you have given us during these turbulent times. And we have no doubts that we will bounce back, and we'll bounce back well. Over to you, Narayan.
Thank you, and good evening to all of you. It's indeed a pleasure to speak to all my fellow investors, and as we have been talking about post our March financials, we had stated that the year 23-24 is going to be a year of consolidation and stabilization on all the financial parameters for the company. It's going to be a year of growth, sustained growth, and as we speak about the first quarter results has slowly started moving around on the same lines. The numbers that we have achieved is around on a similar platform of what we did in the March quarter, and almost an improved performance of about 18% over June quarter that we had delivered, vis-a-vis 370 crores that we achieved in June 22. The numbers that we have achieved is about 405 crores of revenue from operations. And we have been able to make a lot of inroads as far as the curtailing the expenses and maintaining the cost is concerned. And as you would have seen in the financials that's been posted around, that there has been a saving in across board on account of employee costs. Finance costs continues to be there, but because of our the borrowings still at a level, we are maintaining those levels of borrowings. We're not allowed it to go up. The power and fuel consumption has come down, and as far as the other expenses are there, we have been able to bring down expenses with regard to freight, with regard to some other consumables and space. So, however, as informed to you all in my last address, the high value of raw material continues to be there in this particular quarter also, due to which the RMC percentage is somewhere around 63%. And because of the savings that we have done on the other costs, we have been able to have a profit of around 6.7 crores on the standalone numbers and 6.5 crores on the consolidated basis. We expect to keep improving about, and as also informed that some of the high value inventory which is there will completely get used up by us by end of July or maybe mid of August. So the margin should keep improving, and as you will see that in the coming quarter and the few quarters going ahead, you will definitely have a better RM margin as compared to what we have done maybe in the first quarter or the last quarter of the previous year. We should be working progressively. Our numbers should keep growing, and we definitely are there, and as informed and addressed in the past, overall the company is looking to consolidate its position and ensure that we post decent numbers, a number that most of the investors will be happy after this so-called setback of 22-23, where we were prima facie, we were done by the some of the high fixed costs, the capitalization of major projects that we had started embarking on over a period of two and a half years, and of course the high coal costs and the freight costs, all of which are now slowly coming down, and which will definitely help the company post much better results. And we continue feel that our overall margins by year end should be anywhere between 14.5% to 16.5%. So it's a fate, our chairman and managing director, Mr. Mahesh Babani, has informed, we are working towards ensuring that Privi Speciality Chemicals Limited, it will be a dominant force in the aroma chemical space worldwide, globally. And as Mr. Rajan rightly stated, we are, leader as far as the pine space aroma chemicals is concerned. So on that count, Mr. Kamlesh Bhai, I'm open for any question and answers or specific questions that our investors will have. And I will also like to thank Kamlesh Kotak and AMSEC for once again hosting this call on behalf of Privi Speciality Chemicals Limited.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, thanks a lot for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. So firstly, from my side, so what was the volume growth and realization growth during Q1?
Yeah. Hi, Deepak. Good evening. As far as the volume growth is concerned, over the previous year, there has been a growth of 12.5%. And as far as the value growth is there, it's almost about 18.5% in fact.
Value growth of 18.5%.
Volume growth of 12.5%. Okay. Value-wise, it is about 18.5%.
Okay.
We have moved from 370, not 8.5%. 12.5% volume and 8.5% on value. I'm sorry.
Okay. And so how has been the pressure on sales realization for our products during Q1? And this July, August, has it changed better?
Okay. As informed, because basically we are a company where we contract most of our business, almost close to 65% of the business. These are contracted much before the calendar year begins because my customers are all global MNCs. To the tune of almost 70% of 65 to 70% of my sales, the prices are fixed throughout the year. As far as the spot market is concerned, yes, we do see some challenge there. There is a pressure as far as sales prices are concerned, but we are able to mitigate prima facie on account of ensuring that our products are much greener, much carcinogenic free, and quality has been our forefront. So we are fighting the onslaught from some of the competition, Indian competition and Chinese competition. But as you are also aware that my major competitors are the global players, and since they also follow ethical practices and they also spend a lot of money with regard to sustainability and environment friendliness, etc. So we are able to withstand that pressure. We find that, July and August also, on some products, yes, the margins are under pressure, whereas for the pine space that where our strength lies, we continue to be there, and prices are more or less, on similar lines as we see in the last quarter.
Okay. And can you provide us some light on this new product commercialization, the Galaxy and Camphor in India?
Okay. Yeah. As far as Galaxy Musk is concerned, as indicated in the previous two conference calls, we had launched this product somewhere around January 2023, and sales have slowly started picking up out. Galaxy Musk, definitely we see a lot of acceptance globally. Quite a few of our global customers have started placing orders, especially with regard to the from July onwards, where the second half of the year for the global players, they start, we were successful enough to bid some of the Galaxy Musk and variants of Galaxy Musk as a product. So that's really doing well. Camphor, as you know, the season for Camphor is just about to start, and it's the season which starts normally from the auspicious Hindu calendar month of Shravan, which is expected to be just around the corner in the next 10 odd days. We see some movement of Camphor happening around, and so that's a positive as we look ahead. And yes, we will be competing with most of the Indian Camphor manufacturers who are there. We expect to make inroads in the Camphor market, being the first year that we will be doing Camphor sales, and try to get as much as market share as is possible. In fact, we are positive about it. Galaxy Musk, definitely a lot of inroads has been done. Many of our global customers have started placing orders, and we are happy with the way that things are progressing as far as Galaxy Musk is concerned.
Okay. And lastly, from my side, so what is the debt level currently, and where do we see these debt levels going up during FY24 and FY25?
Debt levels has remained more or less, almost on similar lines as it has been in the month of March. It has not peaked in, and it will continue to be there, almost on similar lines, maybe going forward in this particular quarter too. But we expect some improvements to start happening around by end September, and by March, I feel that the overall debt level, from the current 1,080 crores or so, which was also evident in the month of March, it's there around in the month of June. We expect a reduction of debt by about 200 odd crores by March end, in fact. Because we expect the inventory level also to come down, sales to move up. So it's a combination and the parameters of all the things. We expect growth to start culminating from Q2. Then Q3 and Q4 will be a consolidation basis, in fact, and which will help us mitigate high inventory level, better realizations, profits coming into the board, and which means that our overall borrowing level also to come down. So we are confident looking forward. And just to inform you that, as was also informed in my prior investor call, the inventory level from the peak level in September 2022, where on a consolidated basis was close to 880 crores, by March itself it had come down to about 800, and now as we talk about in the month of June, the consolidated inventory level is around close to 750. So we are also working on ensuring that those things are taken care of. And definitely with sales moving up and we adopting a much prudent practice of buying just in time and only what is required, we feel that the overall working capital management and working capital cycle, as we go forward and by the year end, we should definitely be more in line with what we had addressed to the investors, that it should come into normal state.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best for future.
Thank you very much, Dev.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. So I understand that right now our debt levels are high and net debt to EBITDA is elevated because of both high debt levels and margin pressure. But how does the management think about what net debt to EBITDA, what debt levels they would be comfortable with, you know, in a more normal scenario?
Hi, good evening, and pertinent and good question. We have always believed in the policy of being prudent and cautious. You know, debt EBITDA per se, if you would have seen, even in the worst of our years, we always have managed to keep it well below the so-called threshold of 3.5 or 4, you know, much lower than 3.5, which also is to the fact that, you know, most companies, I could say most pragmatic and practically companies, you know, they try to ensure that the debt EBITDA does not exceed 3.5. As also informed, the reason for debt EBITDA going up in the previous year was mainly on account of the continued capex and the capex not getting converted into commercial production, and from which the production had not crept in, as we spoke on March 23, in fact, you know. So that is a one-off year where our debt EBITDA levels had actually gone up, and then we did face, for the first time in almost about 15 odd years after 2008, that the fourth quarter for 22-23 was the only quarter where Privy happened to have a negative results, where it actually had a loss for the quarter. So we feel, we should be coming back to the management is comfortable, and management is very confident that by year end we should be less than 3.5 on the debt EBITDA level as far as concerned.
Got it. And so my next question would be, we focus on the aroma chemicals business with, we specialize in the pine-based, chemicals. So wanted to understand how big is the market opportunity in this segment? And given that, you know, CST is, we have the largest CST capacity, it's a source of edge for us because we are able to refine it. But how large is the CST availability, you know, globally, and could that be a bottleneck to growth, context of 5 to 10 years kind of viewpoint?
Okay, so let me state that, you know, prima facie, pine-based chemicals can be obtained in two ways. One is through the CST route, crude sulfated turpentine, which is basically through the pulp process where pine trees are cultivated, hacked and given to the paper mills, and during the crushing process we obtain CST, which is the oil, and the other product that is obtained is the crude tall oil, which is the gummy substance used for resins and tire industry, paint industry, etc. Similarly, pine can also be extracted as an agro-based product, which is known as from the gum turpentine oil, where the countries like China, Southeast Asia, Latin America, where labor is cheap, they basically tap the box of the pine tree and get this thing. As far as availability of CST is concerned, and our thought process as to whether it will be sustained over the next 5, 10, 15 years, let me start by saying that, you know, even in all those countries, Scandinavian countries, US, Canada, such countries, they have, even if they don't plant a single sapling as of now, the pine tree cultivation which is there is enough and for the next 100 years. However, most of these countries have laws which states that for every tree that they prima facie, you know, cut, new saplings ranging from 4 to 11 are mandatory to be planted, in fact, you know, so that, you know, the green cultivation continues around. As far as Privy is concerned, we are confident that, you know, having a large refinery, the largest refinery of CST of 37,000 tons in one single location, that continues to be an advantage for us, because we have products, which can be used through the CST refining process for all the three different pines that come out of the CST processing, which is the alpha pinene, the beta pinene. You know, alpha pinene is used to manufacture dihydromycinol, pine oil, terpineol, and other variants, in fact, including dow camphor. then Betapenin is used to manufacture Amberflor, Amber Gamma, and quite a few of the other products. And from the third variant, which can be Dipantin or Limonin, Limonin 350, DDTO, all this that comes about. Previ has gone about and, you know, been churning a lot of value-added products by getting it manufactured for the Terpin-4-all, 1,4-cineol, 1,8-cineol, and various other terpenes that can be sold in the market. And, you know, going forward, maybe we will also be using this to manufacture our dream project on menthol. That's going forward, in fact. You know. So since we can utilize all three components of that comes out in the distillation process of the CST, we have the advantage, in fact. You know, many of my Indian competitors and also possibly the Chinese competitors, they may not have product emanating where, you know, they can actually manufacture or use all the three variants of the pines that come out of the CST processing or GTO processing as far as this is concerned. Second advantage that we have as compared to some of our, you know, the Western global competition is concerned is that apart from the CST processing, our refinery capacity, you know, also has the capability of processing GTO. So we do a balance between both CST and GTO. Our commercial department, along with our president, Mr. Rajan, who also looks into the entire procurement, and our management, both ED and ND, Mr. D.B. Rao and Mr. Mahesh Babani, who form a team of all the sourcing. We do a balancing act between GTO and CST to ensure that, you know, that supposing if CST prices are going up and GTO prices are coming down, maybe, you know, we can look at sourcing some additional GTO. And if it's a vice versa, we try to, you know, bid aggressively on the CST thing. So that's the advantage that Privi today has as compared to some of its competition, in fact.
Got it, sir. And so my question on just the market opportunity in aroma chemicals, do you think that's large enough for us to keep growing for, you know, we've grown at 20% for very long periods of time. Do you see the runway to grow for another decade or so within our existing, you know, segments, or we might need to, you know, expand into other segments to keep the growth running?
So I'm just coming in here to give you a perspective on this. You see, by the year 2028, the fragrance industry is predicted to touch about 30 billion, and the CAGR growth is about 5.8 billion CAGR. And terpenoids will continue to be the biggest segment in this. So, as far as we are concerned, since our ingredients are used both in the mid note and high notes, fine fragrances as well as in the mass usage in terms of detergents, in terms of soaps, in terms of sanitizers, etc., etc. So we are literally in a business which is very difficult to dislodge in terms of habits. So, you know, 50 years down the line, there could be new technologies coming into various spaces, but I'm sure that people will still continue to wash their clothes, have a bath, and use fine fragrances. So we are on a safe wicket, and there's enough, you know, sort of bread for everybody, and the industry is set for growth because there has also been a lot of technology investments in the fragrance houses in terms of looking at various blending options. So everything augurs well for the future of this industry, and we are very, very optimistic about it, that there's enough bread for all of us.
Got it. I have a few more questions, but I'll just join back in with you.
Okay, surely.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Parth from an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah,
hi. Just wanted to get your perspective on the camphor situation. Like, I know that there was a sort of dumping from Chinese players in the past few quarters. So, what is the situation going forward?
See, the Chinese dumping, which was more of a, I would say, a desperate reaction on the circumstances in which they find themselves. is not sustainable. So the news is that things are going to look up upwards because some of the disruptive prices that happened with certain dumping that took place, this is not a very sustainable situation. So there could have been a temporary red ocean in this category. But as far as camphor is concerned, now that the season is starting and people will be able to sell their products with a lesser degree of difficulty, though in a very fiercely competitive space, situation will settle down and we see that in the next couple of months, there will be some shakeouts, but the others will continue with a sense of business sanity. Will definitely bring it back to steady state. It may not go back to the good old days or the best days of camphor, but it will certainly improve substantively for the companies which stay back to be sustainable.
So any guidance on the margins that we can expect from camphor exclusively?
It's very difficult to say. I think it will be better to kind of make an assumption after this season is over.
Okay, thanks a lot. Congratulations. One second.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramakrishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Am I audible? Because I'm calling from Oman and there were some line disruptions. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're fairly audible, Ramakrishnan. Good evening to you.
Hi. Hi, very good evening to you. I will first summarize my bullet points so that you can answer all the questions in one go. I have been an investor with Privee for the last 15 years. I looked up your financials prior to the current reporting, and what I made out was that if Privee, I mean, as an investor, when I look at it from my perspective, if Privee is to get back to its September 2022 sort of levels, when it was between 1,700 to 2,000 rupees in that range, the pre-tax EPS of the company needs to get back to around 34 rupees. Now, that to me meant about 100 crore increase in the profit before tax. Now, your net margin is around 9%. And based on your current costs, I was able to work back that your turnover needs to increase by about 1,100 crores, which is almost about 70% increase in the turnover. So I'm trying to get a perspective for all the positive features you've outlined and see whether I could quantify it to get the comfort that the turnover is likely to move up by this margin. Now, in parallel, the company needs to achieve the drop in three cost elements, basically interest, depreciation, and power and fuel. Now, my first question is, combined with the cost reductions and the turnover increase, what's the sort of time frame that you are viewing to achieve this kind of a growth in the turnover for the market prices to be supported? The second point is 70% of the company's revenue comes from exports. Now, given the slowdown that is projected in the global economic growth, and in particular the lag that we are seeing in Europe and UK, how do you see the prospects of achieving this scale-up in turnover with the significant dependence you have on exports? What's the timeline over which the company expects to achieve this growth? And finally, before you ventured into the major expansion, it's almost doubling of your capacity expansions over the past 2 years, you would have made your business projections to get the conviction that your scale-up post these expansions will lend support to the EPS and the market prices. Now, is there any deferment in the timeline for achieving the scale-up and turnover and profitability that you had projected to support these expansions? These are my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Ramakrishnan. Okay, so that's a great insight that you are asking me to we can address on an investor call. Well, I may not answer very specifically or very, very, precisely to some of those numbers that you talked about, like, you know, PBT needs to go up by 100 crores for us to get back to the pre-tax EPS of 34. This was one of your questions. Then net NP margin of 9% based on current costs. I think you've done a lot of evaluation, and some are right, and partially some of them are, the understanding needs to be lumped in around. But to give you an overall perspective, and of course you have also talked about, you know, the interest and depreciation, power fuel, 700 crore, 70 crore increase. So I'm not getting into nitty-gritties because that's not meant to be given. It means I'm giving too much of future ahead in our numbers, which is prevented also, I believe so. But to give you and all the investors who have been with us, and thank you for being invested in Privi for such a long time, I can talk about that, you know, and which I have been reiterating in some of my investor calls, and many of the investors who also have met around is that. The year 22-23 was one of year, I keep repeating it, and please pardon me if I'm, you know, reiterating the same thing. It was a year in which our projects which had got delayed was completed, and that was a huge expansion of about close to 500 to 600 crores on the three major capexes that were spent around. And hence my borrowings went up. Second, we were also done by the war, which started with Ukraine and Russia somewhere around last February. And the scare that came about when the entire Scandinavian ports were shut down for industrial use or for daily use led to us to believe, in order to safeguard our major business, where, you know, as you are aware, we are 70% in the pine business. We look for alternative sourcing, and that's how there was an inventory pileup, which also happened around, and our inventories went from those 500 odd crores, which we had maintaining, or maybe in number of days, I will talk, we used to have an inventory of around 135. We've seen inventory going up to as high as 220 days, coming down to about 185 in March, and now as we talk about, we are somewhere close to about 155 days or so. So these, all these parameters, plus to the fact that, you know, business really did not scale up the way we thought, with you rightly mentioning that Europe and US had some sort of a recessionary trend. This was an, the offshoot or the side effect of the war between Russia and Ukraine, and also that the world was coming out of the second and third wave of COVID. And during this COVID period, maybe there was a little bit of stocking that had happened around the at various quarters. All this put together, seeing from around September 22 onwards, the first thing was there was a restocking happening with most of our global customers, with most of our customers, both in India as well as overseas. Second, my capex expenses was continuing, and due to which I had to keep borrowing. Third, I had piled up an additional inventory, a conscious decision of ensuring that, you know, we shouldn't be out of business. So that led to further borrowings around, and these are various parameters which actually hampered my the financial numbers for the March 23 that we reported around. Coming specific to answer around, going forward, when our company is very optimistic that, you know, with sales looking to turn around, with most of our global customers starting to issue purchase orders, because the restocking has more or less got completed. Many of our global customers are placing fresh orders, new orders. We definitely feel that there will be a growth both in terms of volume as well as in the value-wise going forward. Plus, we have also commercialized new products, Camphor and Galaximas. And as Mr. Rajan also mentioned in his opening address, that we are also looking at churning some of the byproducts coming out of the Galaxy Musk manufacturing in the form of Indomaran and Fluorovan, which is the brand that Privi has given, and which we expect to start selling from September and more so from October. Those products will also come in around. We feel that, you know, the sales that we are targeting, and as informed in the past, we're looking at somewhere around 15 to 20% of value-wise growth, and volume-wise, we should be in a position of getting about 20-25% of increased volume as we talk about for the year 23-24. And specifically with regard to margins, I continue to maintain my stance that Privi and our company is looking to consolidate its base and get back to the margin levels somewhere between 14.5 and 16.5. And we are positive. The outlook as we see for the month of July, also for the month of August, and the way that things have panned up in September, we are very, very positive that, you know, we should be able to get the share of most of the products that we are in. And wine is our strength and will continue to be our strength, where our entire research and development is focused to make various wine-based products, both existing, improve the processes, and, you know, make headway on some new wine-based products, which is in the pipeline, and maybe at the appropriate time, you know, after consolidating, getting all the financial parameters in place so that the investor, the bankers, and we from the management all are happy with our performance, we should be looking forward for further growth. So specifically, to answer you, yes, the vision of 3,000 crores of our chairman and MD, Mr. Mahesh Babani, and executive director, Mr. D.B. Rao, is still on. We expect it could be, there could be a delay by about a year, but that's our first milestone that we are looking ahead. And subsequently, as things consolidate, we should look for further expansion, and that expansion in our industry can only come in volume and new products as we go along. I believe Mr. Rajan would also like to add something to what I have stated. Mr. Rajan?
Yeah, so the only thing that I would like to add to what my colleague has just said is that we have moved from acquiring market share to, we have also moved forward on increasing the customer basket. So the customer wallet share is something that we are constantly increasing by offering more products to the same key accounts. And since we have business with almost all the top Fortune 500 companies, and in the coming future, you will hear some news. It's premature to talk about it, but we will acquire another two major customers in areas where we are putting our new products. So enlargement of our product basket offerings and ensuring that we get a bigger share of the customer wallet is also going to stand us in good stead as a strategy. As compared to only fighting for market share in the legacy products, we have a basket of new products and certain other innovative ideas, which our chairman has always been leading the aroma industry in a waste-to-wealth story.
Your 3,000 crore target is actually by what timeline? Is it a three-year, five-year timeline, or is it
at this point of time, I see it happening over the next 3 years.
Over the next 3 years, yeah. Anyway, thank you. So, can I also? I fully appreciate Narayan. Thank you very much for the very comprehensive response. And I don't intend to touch on anything that could be classified. But broadly, is there anything that concerns you in terms of assumptions made pre-COVID, pre-exceptional global events, compared to what it is now? Now that the expansions are completed.
The pre-COVID numbers that you talk about and what we are looking at achieving, we should definitely get back to the numbers of 21-22.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. We are unable to hear you.
Yeah, one second.
Yeah, you are audible to me.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. And I thought that I'm not audible. Yeah, so Ramkishan, to be specific to your question as to when and how we will be able to achieve some of the profitability numbers, what we had done in 21, 22, 20, 21 and all. we expect, you know, those numbers to come back most likely from the year 24-25 onwards, maybe the next year onwards. You will see those numbers back on track.
Most appreciated. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Stay invested.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nikhil from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the volumes for the last 4 years for the business has more or less been flat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think FY20 volumes were at close to 25,000 tons, and for 23, the volumes were at 27,000 tons. Could you explain what led to this and what needs to change for the growth to come back?
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Nikhil. Good evening to you. See, a couple of years, there was not much of a growth as far as the volume is concerned. So that was prima facie on account of the COVID era, you know, which started around. So hence, you would not have seen too much of an increase in the overall volumes as we talked about. And even our revenue was in the range of around 1350 to about 1450 for a couple of years, in fact, you know. So this year, when we talked about 22-23, there has definitely been an increase in the volume where, you know, we touched about close to 28,000 tons by March 23. And we believe as we go ahead in this year also, definitely there is going to be an increase in the volume from what we did. And as informed earlier, that we expect an increase in the volume of close to about 12.5 to 15% as we talk about in the year 23-24. And that's why we expect even a growth on the top line. You have seen that, you know, in this particular year of 22-23, the annual results which have been uploaded on the website, that also showed an increase of close to about 10% in volume. As well as value-wise, also we have seen almost about 8% increase in the revenue. So growth is there and growth will continue to be so. Because some of the products, and Mr. Rajan had also mentioned that, you know, till such time that a person would like to continue to have a bath and wash her clothes, a majority of our products, and you know, are in the day-to-day basis applications of soaps, detergents, shampoos, hand sanitizers, and maybe floor washers. A bulk of our products go into this. And these markets have been growing. Product by product also, there have been growth in some, whether it's been the dihydromarcinol, whether it's been the terpineol or the pine oil, Amberflow. You know, you actually see that these products are growing. Maybe in a few products, it's just about 2%. But when we talk about 2% on a volume of about in excess of 20,000 metric tons individually about each of the products, so it actually indicates about close to 600 to 1,000 tons of growth on an annual basis. And as you're aware, that Privi prima facie ensures to get this additional volume which comes about on an annual basis by, you know, increasing its customer base and also being a preferred supplier to most of the global customers. Almost all the top 15 fragrance houses of the world have been our customers, and our service and quality of product has been rated the best by them. And brand Privi continues to be a, you know, something which is revered of. So we you know, this strength of ours gives the optimism that going forward also we will grow and we will try to take the market share of the increase, apart from, of course, competing with our customers and possibly taking a piece of their share into the, from the overall pie, in fact. You know.
Got it. Any particular pockets within your end industries which were suffering for the last 3 years where you see demand normalizing now and even growing from this year onwards? I'm just trying to understand what has led to the slowdown and what can change.
Yeah.
So a couple of things which are obvious to understand is that during this period when we had both the pandemic and the war, the movement of people was restricted. So obviously the fine fragrances were not flying off the shelf in the duty-free because the travel was so much limited. But now things are, you know, back to normal and we can see a growth in that niche segment, but it's a high-value segment. So that is one. Second thing is that when you have this sort of scenario where people are working from home, that also impacts the way they change their habits, which led to a bit of a slowdown in terms of consumption. Though there was stocking, but the consumption wasn't so aggressive. But now that people are being encouraged to come back to work from working from home, which is a seeming trend, this should lead to people going back to their normal habits, which is also going to reflect in their personal care and how they present themselves at their workplaces or when they move around, aside from the travels that they do. So all this is going to only aid and enable growth. Some of the bumps that we faced was not only because of the consumer demands or habits, but it was also the pressure on the margin was also on account of the fact that some input costs, which we don't control, which happened due to the external war scenario as well as the pandemic, the input costs went up exponentially and now all that is returning back to normalcy because that was not sustainable. So all this augurs well and we are certainly going to see better times going ahead.
Noted, sir. Thank you for this. Another question was, so when you think about expansion, for example, you've added Gallic Smith and Camphor and Prime into your product portfolio. What is the product selection criteria in terms of, you know, which product do you pursue for your next leg of growth?
So as was shared earlier also, our Chairman Mr. Mahesh Babani's vision has always been a waste to wealth story and always to add value-added products. So now the new pathway in which we are pursuing products continues to have the same strategic intent, where we are looking at products out of our refinery, the CST, the byproducts that it produces, and the parallel products that it produces to add value and ensure that we are able to meet the cut of the olfactiveness of the ingredients that we supply to our blenders. And that continues to be the course in which we take to optimize the costs as well as leverage our profits. And we do run a litmus check with our customers and have largely letter of intent or brainstorming with them to see what is that in the basket that we can add in our offerings. And that has been our attempt all the time, because in times like this, one of the things where the top management spends a considerable amount of time is to mitigate the risks. And we have a very clear risk mitigation program and we regularly have review. And we continue to persevere in that direction to ensure that we take care of the interest of all our stakeholders.
Sure. Got it. And so in terms of, I think our current capacity is close to 55,000 metric tons. Given last year's utilization, we were at close to 50% capacity utilization. By when can we expect you to move to full capacity utilization? And is it also possible to know category-wise utilization in terms of fine, petrochem and specialty? I think 37,000 tons is what you hold in terms of capacity for fine, and rest may be split between petrochem and specialty.
Chemicals is just looking to come up, and we hope that in this year there will be further improvement. With travel embargoes being lifted and many people are now traveling around the globe. So we expect this high-ended specialty, which we had talked about, that it was close to about 30% of the overall capacity last year. We feel that it should move closer to the 50 to 70% or so by year end, and which will also enable us to, you know, consolidate our base on the high-ended specialty chemicals per se. Broad numbers, 37,000 tons that we talked about was not the pine space. It is the backward integration plant CST that we have set about. The overall capacity of Privi is on the finished goods front is about 48,000 tons. As we speak about now that, you know, Camphor and Galaxamus variants of products, we have increased our capacity by about close to 10,000 tons by March. So we feel by year-end, March, our pine-based chemicals, excluding Camphor, should be about close to 90% utilization. The citral space, the second largest space that we have, should be closer to about 75 to 80%, where we compete with the largest manufacturer of the world, that is BASF, and some other players, in fact, on various citral-based products. Then the phenol space that we have located in Jhagadia, we should be closer to the 80 to 90% capacity, when our capacity there is about close to 5,000 tons once again. The new product that we have launched, Galaxamusk and Camphor. Galaxamusk per se, we should be by year end about 40 to 50% and Camphor should be about 30-35% broad utilization. The specialty chemicals, as I said, specialty sandal, which we classify as you know, one of our important thing. If things really start looking up from September, we can even achieve 80%. Conservatively, I will put a number between 60 to 75% or so. This could be the numbers you will see by year ended.
Okay, okay. Thank you for that. One last question from me is, last year has been tough in terms of freight cost as the company does annual contracts, and I think this situation was not foreseen. Has the company taken any steps to avoid such a situation going forward?
Well, Nikhil, you know, this is something which has been going on for years, and in our trade and industry, freight forms an integral part of the overall contract values. So it's not something that, you know, I can change the habits. But we've been prudent. We have been sensitizing all our customers that the increase in trade is something that, you know, beyond our reach, beyond our capability to control it. Having said that, the freight rates have started coming down, especially in those spaces and those segments that we have been operating about. And so so the gap between whatever we lost and what we are now slowly inching towards is definitely coming down. And hence you will see even in my March financials and more so from the June financials, where other operating expenses have actually come down. The freight expenses have been slowly and steadily coming down, and it should help us get back to normalcy by Q2 and Q3, as we talk about, you know.
Sure, thank you. I have a few more questions. I'm probably going to email them to you and come back in the queue.
Definitely. I'll look forward for that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagaraj, Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question in terms of our product pipeline for the next leg of growth. I understand that we've commissioned Galaxamusk and Camphor recently, and we are currently in process of securing orders for that and ramping up those capacities. But beyond that, how does the pipeline work? And whether there are any few more voids that we need to fill up in terms of the customer requirements, where the requirement could be large enough for putting up tons of kind of plants. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Rohit. You are talking on lines of our visionary chairman, who always believes that, you know, growth can come with new products and which entails once again spending a lot of amount on capex. So my answer here is that yes, we have a very robust R&D center and facility both in Navi Mumbai as well as at our Mahad factory, who have been working on various new products to go about. All this comes from the fact that our team of business development our visionary chairman, Mr. Mahesh Babani, who keep meeting around various customers, look at opportunities of those products where our strength lies. And as we keep stating that our strength lies in the pine space and some of the specialty chemicals that we are known to work around, we keep continuing to evolve, try to get those products in our R&D and possibly scale up at the pilot level and keep it up and keep it ready so that, you know, once we are able to sustain and sail through 23-24, bring back our financial parameters in line, get our numbers on a strong strong footing, you know, this will enable us to look for future growth, because as of now we our plates are full. We are looking at, you know, achieving those numbers of going towards a 3,000 crore mark with all the capexes that we have done in the recent past. So that's something we need to consolidate our base, consolidate our numbers, be fundamentally and financially strong before embarking upon fresh capexes and fresh growth plans. Growth plans are definitely there, and we will announce it to the world at the appropriate time. And you know, you will also appreciate that with sound financial numbers, announcing further capexes or further growth will always be appreciated by one and all.
Yeah. Thanks for the elaborate answers, and best of luck.
Thank you very much, Nagas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. My first question is, can you give us an update on, you know, what's happening on the subsidiary, the 3D biotechnology? Have you made any progress since we've last spoken?
Hi, Anirudh. Good evening. See, Privi Biotechnologies, as I said, is a company which is into research and piloting of various new products and some of the existing products where they help enable us to improve the processes and yields is concerned. So there has been progress. A lot of new products have been churned out. A lot of new variants are coming around. And we are, looking at it very, very positively. And at the appropriate time, maybe, you know, convert those products into opportunities for future growth.
Okay. Are there any timelines you could share by when you think it can start generating revenues that are meaningful in our overall context?
See, Privi Bio per se may not generate revenues on its own. The revenues that can get generated is out of the potential products that it is conceiving and doing at the pilot scale, which will lead to commercial plant scales, in fact. You know, so the moment we commercialize all the ideas and opportunities that our Privi Biotechnology is working on, and the revenues will start flowing to Privi Bio, maybe in the form of technical know-how and royalties and all that sort of stuff, in fact, you know. So Privi Biotechnology will continue to be our research center. It will be a continuing to remain our knowledge center and also a piloting facility. And as you are aware, Privi Bio prima facie is working on nature-like substitutes of the aroma chemicals, which means that the entire aroma chemicals that will be manufactured using the Privi Biotechnological know-how is going to be chemical process-free and carcinogenic-free, in fact, you know. So it will use more like fermenters and fermentation processes and enzymatic reactions, as we talk about, in fact, you know. So that's the difference between a synthetic aroma chemicals and a nature-like aroma chemical that Privi Bio is working on.
Okay. The earlier participant had touched upon, you know, challenges from China with respect to dumping, which, you know, has happened in the past as well. So wanted to understand, does the pressure on pricing happen mainly in our spot business, which is 30-35% of our sales? And if yes, is there an intention over time to do more and more contract-led sales, which, you know, will ensure stability in pricing?
Yeah. So, you see, the relationship that Privi has with its key accounts is not based on only pricing as being competitive. It is about reliability, sustainability, credibility, continuity of supplies. That's what gives the value chain the power it has on the head table of the Fortune 500 companies. So the vision of our chairman has always been to ensure reliability on all quarters. It is not just on the question of pricing. So we don't just play on the price attribute. It is also about what are the safety practices, the sustainability practices, and all parameters we have to continue to be a best practice company. Now, as far as disruptive practice on the pricing is concerned, these are clouds which come and go, and Privy as an institution has combated this effectively and aggressively for the past 25 years. So there's nothing new. It's just that a couple of more curveballs came along with this price disruption in terms of the background of a pandemic to begin with, and then the war clouds in the recent past. So all these have that. But I think the stakeholders must draw confidence that Privy is a top leadership team consisting of over 35 people who are a part of the succession plan. They are battle-hardened and they can take on any eventualities in this VUCA world. So that should give you a lot of comfort.
Okay. And just one final question is, once we are, at a more optimum utilization basis, the capacities that we've put in place, what would the return on capital of our business look like? And if you can also give some color around what steady state margins, working capital days, and asset turns you think one can, work with.
Okay. The break-even on these two major capexes that we talked about could be about close to 60% of the capacities that we are there. And as far as the margins and how the various other financial covenants that we are looking at is that once things get streamlined, our overall working capital cycle should come back to the 135 days or so. I'm not talking only about inventory. Inventory also is something that we are looking at 135 days. But working capital cycle per se should also come to about 135 days is the ideal thing. We have seen and we have even come up to as good as 120, 122 days in the past, and we were looking at 105 before the COVID and the capex has happened around. So our first priority definitely is to get back to the lost ground that we have done. And we feel that, if things work the way that we are planning around, 120 days of working capital cycle is something that is achievable by end of March 25,
Okay, and what does this imply in terms of, return on capital for this business? And also, we are in a rising interest rate environment. So what finance cost do you think one can assume going forward as well?
Well, if we improve upon the business and the profitability numbers, our finance, the borrowings for the company will definitely come down. And finance costs going forward, you will definitely see may come down by about 20%, even on a higher volume and a higher value of sales, in fact. So that's something that, from a CFO's perspective that I'm talking about, and also as a senior management on behalf of the company, that I'm assuring that we are looking at definitely reducing the debt in the coming days and with improved performance and, better margins flowing from sale of high volume of products, in fact.
Sorry, I'll just clarify. My question is, going forward, as interest rates are rising globally, what finance costs, which is finance costs by borrowings, do you think one can work with? And, at a more steady utilization, what return on capital can, one assume for our business? I wasn't very clear with my question earlier.
Okay. Finance costs, at least our reading about the interest costs per se is that we really don't feel interest cost is going to go further up than what it is already today. Yeah, I do understand that the European Bank has increased the lending rate just last week around by 0.25 basis. The Bank of, LIBOR rate has been about close to something which I've never seen around Indian borrowings has also been around 9.5%, 9.25%, depending on the product that we are using around. We feel this could possibly be at these levels. There may not be too much of an increase on the rate of interest going forward. That is in the next 6 to 9 months, and thereafter we feel that interest rates may fall down. So it stems from our understanding and reading of the overall financial market that I talked that, the
finance rate of interest when we talk about will be more or less on lines as currently it is, in fact, you know. Rate of capital employed, as we reduce the debt, it should, and rate of interest being at as it is, we can expect rate of capital employed or the rate of return that you're looking at for the equity holders to be in the range of anywhere between 14% and 18%, in fact. You know. And which we have achieved it in a couple of years ago, in fact. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you, Anirudh. I think, Seema, the last question, as you informed me, so all yours.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. So would you like to give some closing comments?
Yeah, so thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. On behalf of Privy and Privy's management, I can just assure that you are in safe hands, and you have invested in the right company, an ethical company which follows and maintains its principles of sustainability, safety, and people reliance, and giving quality products. Just one bad quarter does not entail that, you know, the company is away from its goal path. Our vision is there. Our first vision is to ensure that we reach the milestone of 3,000 crores, which our chairman has very fondly mentioned in a couple of the AGMs that we have talked about. And we are looking to achieve that, and we are poised to achieve that going forward in the next 3 years per se. So thank you, and God bless to everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Asian Market Security Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.